All right, please remain standing. We're going to do the scripture reading, and it's from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, then 14, and then we'll look at John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And again, please remain standing for that. In the Journey Bible, it's on page 1358, if you'd like to follow along there. And just want to say this as a note of introduction. This passage we're going to read is, it's not your typical nativity scene, you know, Christmas story passage. But what it is it's the story behind the scene in Bethlehem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we want to look at a few verses here just after those initial ones. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is God's Word. You can be seated. These passages that we just read teach something very simple. Very simple. And it's this: that Jesus Christ came into the world, came into this world to bring light. You see it said there in that passage, He is the light of all mankind. God was embodied. The Lord became flesh, the passage tells us. That's what the nativity story is all about. That's what the incarnation is. That God took on flesh, that Christ became man. And the impact of Christ coming, we talked about it last week. So you can go back and listen to the talk on Facebook or YouTube if you'd like to. But the impact of Christ coming, it's like a fire in a fireplace. Okay, anybody like a fire in a fireplace? It's warm, and you just want to get close to it. It's intimate. It feels so good. And that's what it's like with Christ coming into this world. And not only is it warm, but it's illuminating. You're able to see things as they are in light of Christ. And what we see is we're sinful. Human beings we're rebellious and we're broken. And we need God's mercy. We need His grace. We cannot go on without it. So today, it's about, as I talk today, it's about what happens when we get new life from Christ. What happens when we get that new life from Him who came into this world? We don't just stay the same. We don't just stay the way we are. We don't just keep going down the same path. And so here's our main point for today. The main point is that Jesus brought light to us so that we would bring light to others. You see, Jesus brought light to us, and that light brought life in us, if we truly embrace it. And He wants us to bring that light to others. It's kind of like what happened in the nativity story. Johnny kind of hit on it a little bit today. The part of the nativity story where the angels come to the shepherds. Remember, they're out in the fields, you know, and it's at nighttime and the angels come. And what do they say to the shepherds? They say, born in the town of Bethlehem is a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And what did those guys do? What did those shepherds do? It says immediately they got up to go find out, to go check it out. They wanted to see, what is this all about? And so they went, and when they went, they found the baby. They found his mother, and they found all of what was going on, and they found that it all was true. And they were filled with joy. It was just like, wow. And then what did they do? They went out. They went out to tell others. And that's what the point of today is about. Jesus brought light to us so that we would bring that light to others. Do you do that? How well do you do that? Do you think about that in your life? What do we bring to others? What do we bring to others? Some would say, you know, oh, I bring home the bacon. Some of you don't know what that phrase is all about. I found out not many people know who Fonzie is anymore either, so I had to brighten things up a little bit here. Bring home the bacon, it means I bring home the finances for my family. Some bring a smile to other people's faces. I actually just saw a high school classmate the other day. I haven't seen this person in 30 years. And it just brought to mind that I was quite a jokester in high school. And I loved to bring a smile to people's faces, telling jokes at inappropriate times most of the time. But, you know, I brought smiles to people's faces. And I still try to do that to this day. Some people bring spice to other people. You know, it's like you're in a Thai food restaurant. Anybody ever go Thai? Raise your hand. And what does the waitress say or the waiter say? Would you, what temperature would you like? Would you like mild? Would you like medium? Or would you like hot? And some people, they bring hot all the time. That's what they bring. And others, and I don't mean to be negative this morning, but some bring grief to others. Just their life choices and what they do, and it just brings a lot of turmoil. But here's the thing we're focusing on is that Christians, people who follow Jesus Christ, they are to bring Christ's life to other people. They're to bring the life of Christ and the light of Christ to other people so that they may have life. That's what Christians are to bring. And, you know, it is the week before Christmas, right? And I don't want to put anybody in a scared fit here this morning about things that aren't done. But I want you to think about it. There's probably a few more get-togethers, maybe a party or two, some family coming over, you going to a family, having friends over, going out to eat, whatever it may be. And here's the question as followers of Christ that we need to ask is, how can I bring the light of Christ to others in this time? In this time of maybe need, in this time of maybe loneliness for some, in this time of brokenness, in estrangement, how can I bring the light to others? And that is where we come to John the Baptist. That's who that John is. There's the book of John, the Gospel of John. It's a different person than this guy John that is written about in there. And he's John the Baptist or John the Baptizer or John the Immerser. So that's who that character is in that passage we just read. And he's a great example for us to study here this morning. You see, he was a forerunner to Jesus. He came before Jesus to prepare the way. It was prophesied in Isaiah, in the Old Testament prophecy, that one would come before Jesus to make way. But he's also a forerunner to us. He's before us, and he gives us an example of what it means to be a life that brings light. Are you a life that brings light? If you're a Christian, are you bringing the light of Christ to others? That's what John was about. That's what we want to learn about today. That's what we need to learn about today and incorporate into our lives. So what can we learn from John the Baptist about bringing the light to others? I'm going to give you three things that we can learn here this morning. The first one is this. John realized, and by the way, if you want the notes, you can text Genesis notes and you'll get all that fancy stuff. But the first thing that we're going to learn here about John is John realized his life purpose to point others to the light. He realized it. He understood it. There wasn't any confusion for him. Now, that passage that we read, it says, there was a man sent from God. He came as a witness to the light. You see, John had a purpose, or God had a purpose for John's life, and John got it. He understood it. He wasn't confused. There was clarity about it. John the Baptist, he describes himself in another place. He says he's the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. See, he understood what he was there for. He understood the reason why God created him, why God made him, why God put him on this earth. God sent him into the world to call people's attention to Christ. That's why John the Baptist was here. To neon pointers, you know, to Jesus. Jesus Christ. That's what that verse says. We'll put it up on the screen again. Verse 7, he came as a witness. Some key words here. Witness, to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. It was clear to John he wasn't the big dog. Okay? It was clear to him. This life was not about him. It was clear to him that outside of pointing others to Christ, his personal ambitions were secondary. And John says this about Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 30. It'll be on the screen. Jesus must become greater, and I must become less. He understood the priority of Christ. And when he was saying this, he had in mind his purpose. This life isn't about me. It's not about me consuming everything. It's about me pointing others to someone greater. Greater than me. As a matter of fact, I must become less. And he was attached to something bigger than himself. He was not self-focused. Here's some words we use at Genesis a lot. He wasn't self-focused, but he was others-focused. Others-focused is one of our values as a church that we try to talk about and live out. It's like not being about what I always want, but hey, others, like the people around me, others-focused. And first of all, we get that from Jesus Christ. Him coming into the world and being born into a manger, a humble surroundings, you know, the King of the universe coming down. I mean, that's others focused. And that John the Baptist was following that out. And I just want to say something. I think that's the secret sauce to life. I really do. Being others focused. That's the secret to this life. You know, self-focus is a dead-end road. It doesn't go anywhere. It seems like it does. It promises much and delivers little. Have you heard of the dinks? Raise your hand. We used that phraseology when I was in high school. Not the same way. But dinks, dual income, no kids. Dual income, no kids. And I think many of them are just plainly living lives for themselves. Are you living your life just for yourself? It's a dead-end road. It won't ultimately be fulfilling. It'll be lonely. Others' focus brings fulfillment. It brings satisfaction. It brings joy. There's just something about that the Creator has woven into our DNA. There's something about helping somebody else that brings us joy. Amen to that? What is your purpose? I was at one of our micro group meetings. I have a micro group with some guys. We met Monday, and there's three business guys in this group. And one of the things I brought up, I'm kind of the disruptor in the group, you know, so I'm like, hey, what are your guys' spiritual goals for this year? You guys have business goals and all this. Now, what are your spiritual goals? So we started talking about that. And one of the guys, you know, after pausing and we were thinking and whatever, and then one of the guys said, you know, I appreciate you asking that because you got me thinking about revisiting my personal mission statement. Maybe you've written a personal mission statement before. And then one of the guys said, you know, I've never written one of those before. And so, by the way, in the notes, there's a kind of a process for laying out like a personal mission statement. Like, what are you about? What is your purpose? What brings you meaning in this world? And there's a process to go through. So if you'd like that, just text Genesis. We'll get that over to you. But it's a great question to ask. But John knew his personal mission statement. And so should you. So John knew that. Let's go on to the second thing that we learned from John. John acted in ways that point others to the light. John acted in ways that point others to the light. His purpose statement, if you will, it wasn't just theory. It wasn't just platitudes. He lived it out through actions. He actually did it. You know, sometimes we can have, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know, we're getting close to the first of the year when we make resolutions and then none of it happens or most of it doesn't happen, something like that. No, but John the Baptist, he acted. He lived it out. Now, one example, he said, you know, as one crying out in the wilderness, you know, a voice crying out in the wilderness. Guess what he did? He moved to the Judean countryside. Okay? And I've got to go there on a trip just this year. And I mean, it's like my son is here visiting from Texas. And it's like Texas, you know, it's like it's rugged, it's desolate. And, you know, John's actions were lining up with his purpose. He went out there. He went out to the Judean desert. And he munched on locusts and wild honey, the scripture tells us. And he wore camel's all over skin, hair all over his body in a belt. It's kind of wild, which you see there. And but you know what? Others noticed his character as well. When people look at you, what do they see? What do they notice about you? What comes to mind? A guy named Herod Antipas, who was one of the leaders, and, you know, not a Christian, not someone God-fearing necessarily, but someone that came into contact with John the Baptist, and this is what he says about him in Mark 6:20. John is righteous and holy. He is a holy man. That's what he said about him. And so we know that John walked the walk. He didn't just talk the talk. He carried it out. He didn't do it perfectly because John the Baptist was not perfect, just like you and I are not perfect. Jesus is the only man who was ever perfect. John the Baptist was not perfect, but it says he was a righteous man. And what does that mean? That could feel kind of nebulous, you know, righteous. What does that mean? Well, when someone is righteous, this is what it means. They do what is right. It's very simple. They do what is right. They're working towards figuring out what is the right thing to do, the thing that is just, the thing that pleases God, and then they do it. And that was his reputation. That was what others said of him. Jesus said of John in John 5:34 that John was a lamp that burned and gave light. What do you need to live out your purpose? Let's say you do have that purpose. You're like, yeah, I know. I need to be a life that brings light. I know that. How are you doing it? How are you getting yourself to make the choices that go along with that? How do you do that? Well, I'm going to say this. You need people in your life. You need, if you're a woman in Christ, you need sisters in your life. If you're a man in Christ, you need brothers in your life who love you and who will hold your feet to the fire. They'll challenge you. They'll speak truth to you. In other words, you need to seek community. Because otherwise, it's just a lot of idealism. It's just a lot of platitudes. And so we need to have community that we're in that challenges us so that we can actually live it out. Let's go to the last one. John said some things that pointed others to the light. So he had a purpose, okay, and then he had actions that lined up with that purpose. But he didn't just act, he actually, and I know acting is saying something, I get that, but he went beyond just like living a good life. He said some things. He actually expressed and articulated the truth. You know, I just want to say this, that sometimes our words need to come after we've given a good reason why others ought to listen to us. So we do need that character and that reputation. But again, the words need to come. We need specific revelation. We need it. We need Scripture. This is specific revelation. It helps us to understand who Jesus is and who we are and so many other things that we need to be studying God's Word so that we understand it. And we also, in bringing the light to others, we need to be able to articulate some of those words, some of those concepts that are laid out there. And John had a true articulation of who Jesus was. And John, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 29. John's like hanging out, walking around. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, he looks and he goes, there's Jesus over there. He's like, whoa, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, it was just right there. It was just clear and it was correct. It was theologically sound. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, in one of the nativity stories there, the angel said to Joseph that you are to name this baby from the Holy Spirit, you're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that's what John was saying, that Jesus is the promised one, the one to come to be the ultimate sacrifice, to make atonement for sins so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be free, so that we can live in freedom. So John was a true witness of the light. And he was a true witness of the light who brought an articulation so that everyone might believe. So how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that in the space of conversation? You know, it's Christmas time and you have people over. Let me just tell you a quick story from the Old Testament that really, this is one of my favorite stories here. It's from 2 Kings chapter 7. And let me just set it up here. So the Arameans, the entire army has surrounded the capital of Israel. They're all around it. And the capital was in Samaria. And so because of that, because they were all around it, no food could come into the city. So there was famine in the city. Food was scarce. Food was running out. So the story tells us of four men who were at the city gate. They weren't inside the city. They were outside at the city gate, just kind of looking in and what have you. And they were lepers. They had this affliction of their skin. And so they were kind of outcasts. And they're just like hanging out, and we get this dialogue here in the Scripture between them. And they're saying, hey, you know, boy, if we stay here, we're going to die. There's no food around. Maybe we should try going over to the Arameans and see if they'll give us some food. They probably won't. They'll probably kill us. But hey, you know, what do we got to lose? So these four guys, they head on over, and they find something incredible. What do they find? They find empty tents, donkeys, animals, food, gold, no people. They're all gone. And Scripture tells us that what happened was they heard a commotion, they heard a loud noise, and they thought that the Israelites had hired the Egyptians or the another group of people, the Hittites. And they all ran away and left their stuff. And so these guys go down there and they go into the first tent and they're just gorging themselves. They're just like really enjoying it. And then they're like, whoa, there's some gold in here. So they go, they dig a hole and they hide it in there and they get some new clothes. These poor chaps hadn't had new clothes in a long time. They hadn't been to Kohl's in forever. And so they find some clothes and they're putting them on. And I mean, it's just all going well. And then all of a sudden, there's a conviction that overcomes them. And let's look at this verse right here. This is what they say. This is what is said. They said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. You see, they were reaping the benefits of good news. But then they realized, we need to share this good news. And you know what they did? And the whole city was blessed. I mean, there was a lot of stuff out there and people got fed and all that kind of a thing. And I wonder about you, if you're a follower of Christ, you are benefiting from the good news of Christ. And what we need to do is we need to bring it to others. We need to bring it to those others that are around us. Witnessing for Christ, here I've got a quote for you. Witnessing for Christ is like one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is. Okay? Now let me take some pressure off this. Let me feel like, oh man, I go to church today, it's Christmas, and I hear this, I gotta, you know, tell people, you know, about Jesus and all that, and you might be feeling some pressure. So let me help. I'm going to give you three things to take some of the pressure off here, but yet put forth, this is important. Here's the first one. This will take some of the pressure off. Number one, you're not the light. You are not the light. Norm Byers is not the light. Jesus is the light. That's what the whole story about John is about. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. You're not trying to draw people to you. You're not the light. But what you're trying to do is just point people in a winsome and gentle way to Christ. Okay, the second one here is, you cannot bring life. No matter how hard you want to help someone experience new life in Christ, you can't do it. You don't give the increase. God gives the increase. Your responsibility is just to be light. You are a little light, okay? And only Christ gives life. So be faithful and be okay with that. Just be faithful. Hey, they're not there yet. It's okay. I did my part. I was a little light. I was just one pointer to who Christ is. Lastly here, you sharing the good news is doing what is right. Do you know that? You conjuring up the courage. I want to give Rachel some credit. She didn't want to come up here. It's like, I don't want to go up there. You know, and she came up here and she brought good news. So thank you for doing that. And you know, it's hard to sometimes get up and articulate and share, but I'm telling you, it is a blessing. And when you do it to your family, you are doing what is right. In the notes, I actually have an article, and it's how to share the good news with the people who changed your diapers. Okay? So check it out. There's some really good advice there. I'm going to have Zach come up here, and we're going to just have a second to, you know, meditate and kind of get a sense of what is God calling me to do. It's so important that we hear God's word and then we do something about it. We don't just live in the theory world. We live in the real world, which is acting and carrying out the mission that God has for us. And I have two next steps for you. Here's a next step. Number one, embrace the light and embark on the new life in Christ. You might be here today. You've been coming for a while. You're listening in. You've heard the gospel, and you know, it's like you're ready. You want to receive it. You want that, you know, that fireplace, that warmth of Christ. You want God in your life, and you want to see things the way they are. And here's a simple way to do it. A, B, C, admit to God in a prayer. Admit, I'm a sinner, I'm broken, I need you. Admit. And then B, believe. A, B, remember? A, admit. B, believe. Believe that Jesus Christ came into this world for you. He died for you. He rose again from the dead. And then C, confess, commit, See, commit. Commit your life to Him. Say, I'm going to follow You. It's going to be hard, but I'm all in. And that maybe that's you today. We'd love to hear from you. Come forward on the right here. We'll have some people up here praying at the end of the gathering. Talk to me. I'll be at the backside. Now, here's the second next step for those of you who follow Christ. Pick one way that you will share the light this Christmas. How are you going to share that light? How are you going to bring that light to others? How are you going to be a life that brings a light? You could partake in the Christmas offering. That's going to bring light. That's one way. You could write out your own personal mission statement so that you really clarify what you're about. But I even think even more importantly, in some ways, who are you going to talk to about your story? About the good news you've received and accepted, and pass it on to them.